Head of Global Sales Module Offsite.
God, she's learning. I'm Will.
Thank you. Head of BD, I've already written you down.
Thank you.
Yeah. James, what was I used to call James? James Brackenridge Jones. Worry about myself some days.
JBJ.
Where was it when you and Mark were at that event and that woman... Did she call him posh or something? I can't remember.
Oh, because he had that... Yeah, he rocks up and he's dressed as he does. He was dressed looking really quite smart.
Yeah.
And he had this all beard, all trim, and he was like... He walks with that kind of James walk and he gets on the stage and you can see she's a comedian and you can see she's already going to have a lot of fun in front of all these people. And... She goes, you look a bit posh. What's your name? And you can see James says, going, oh, I said, you've got to say the full name, James. James Brackenridge Johnston. And then the whole room's just like, ah.
And she was this was like, on the stage.
Yes,
on stage. Oh, that is
this
brilliant.
This is at the Offsite Awards.
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, I need you.
Hi everybody, thank you very much for joining our next Proctor podcast, which is being recorded up here in lovely Perthshire in Scotland in our very own Proctor pod. Today we're going to be discussing the building regulations in terms of whether we think they should be modernised. I'm joined by two of my colleagues today, Head of Business Development Will Jones.
Hi.
Hi Will, and Head of Global Sales Modular Offsite Adam Salt.
Hi everyone.
Hi. So if I can start with just a very broad question, I guess. What do we think of the building regulations?
Okay, where do we start? So I see there's two things we can discuss today. One, the building regulations, and also how we deliver them to the market, and maybe how we could modernise that whole process as well. So we've seen a lot of changes recently, and there still needs to be a lot more, in my opinion. And I think we'll see, well, there's already plans for a lot more developments going forward on the building regulations. But it's how we keep up to speed with those and how that affects other things in the market, such as like innovation and problems like that, would be good for discussion today.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's quite a broad question, as you said, Kira. Building regulations, I think, depending on who you are, it's probably how you view them. I think they certainly should be easier to understand, easier to access. And I think that would probably lead to a more smoother planning process as well. Obviously, we've had a lot of updates recently. A lot of that has been regarding modernisation of the types of way we build, and also some probably needed updates on certain key areas to the building regulations, which have been really important. But I feel that certainly they do need modernising. It's probably how we go about that, which is probably the bigger question that we can maybe try and discuss today.
Absolutely. I mean, before we come on to the modernisation, I think quick discussion around the public perception of the building regulations would be a good idea. Because, I mean, in my opinion, I think the general public would see them as quite overly complex. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think they're daunting as well for a lot of people when they look at them. It's huge traditional-based documents and proper English language and really hard to interpret. And that causes its own problems as well. We've seen a number of projects where people have had different interpretations of the same regulation, and that can cause issues within the market as well. So yeah, I think that is a big concern from the public.
Yeah, and I think again, from a client perspective, they probably do see them as quite daunting, but they probably also see them as, oh, I'll allow my local authority building control officer to tell me what I need to do. Mm-hmm. You tell me what I need to do, and I'll basically do that to make sure I pass or comply. So it's kind of what level that people get involved with building regulations, I think, is probably quite important as well. And I think a lot of clients just probably feel they don't need to get that involved. As long as they've got someone that's guiding them in the right way, then they're probably happy.
And do you think they should be involved, though, and have a better understanding?
I think if you're actually, well, as a client, depends on what level you're at with regards to how involved you are. So if you're a client of your own house builder, I'd say, yeah, it'd be good for you to understand what you should and shouldn't be doing so that you can plan design with your architect. Go to a larger project. Maybe it's not so important understanding them in great detail. You're going to be employing people to do that for you, and probably rightly so, specialists that can come in and advise, that you can consult to make sure you're sort of complying with the different areas of the building regulations. So I think it just depends on who you are and at what level, that what sort of type of project that is.
I think one of the problems with local authorities, from what I've heard, is that they struggle to apply guidelines uniformly, so that developers are going to different local authorities, and it can lead to quite a lot of frustration because some local authorities are unsure of the compliance guidelines, and then they all interpret these kind of measures and standards in their own way somewhat. Mm. So you can get different answers across the country, which I know can be a bit of a barrier to some of the developers, which can be frustrating.
They're not very black and white, are they? And I think that that's quite an important point there. The fact that they can be interpreted differently is quite important, because I've had experience of this myself, where you'd speak to one person and get their advice on a particular project and design specification that you're looking at, and they'll give you an opinion. You speak to somebody else who's equally as qualified, and they'll give you a totally different opinion. And you're like, okay, how can this be the case? Well, why is there this ambiguity?
Makes it challenging for manufacturers as well, with products and how they deliver that into the market. If they get told one thing and then something completely different from someone else, it gets confusing for what their approach is from project to project. So I think that tidying that up is certainly going to help the market and the industry.
And what about the influences that technology has played? So if I think back to, say, 10 years ago, there's now a lot more technologies that probably can impact the interpretation and application of these building regulations. Is it good to talk over some of those that people may be unaware of? I mean, I'm specifically referencing things like, for example, BIM, databases, maybe the government's planning portal, these kind of tools that people can now use to make sure that they're using the similar platform across the country.
Yeah, I mean, technology can make it more uniform across the country. And if you've got a database or a system that applies the same standard and protocol to every project, that is going to make things a lot easier.
Boosting consistency, doesn't it?
So yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah. Good word. Consistency, yeah. So, yeah, certainly see the benefit of technology, but also how we can use technology to get the information out, especially when there's updates. You can have updates to some of the most important building regulations and half the market doesn't know for months. And that's a big concern, why it's not being made publicly easy to access, and is broadcasted across the industry very clearly.
How are these things made public at the moment? Are they made public? If there's change in building regs?
I think the actual change is that there's a change, or there's been updates to a building regulation guidance document. I think that is publicly made available, or at least announced. There will be an amendment coming this month of this year, but then it's your responsibility to read through that document as a designer to understand exactly what the changes are and how they can implicate your design of your building. So it kind of gives you the insight, yet there could be, or there will be, an update happening here, but you need to go and find out what those updates are. And they do outline the amendments in the document, so that helps. But you do actively have to be on top of that and make sure you are familiar with the changes.
It's on the government portal normally, isn't it? But we deliver CPDs all the time, and we say, well, back in December there was this update or whenever, and the architects and designers are, oh, didn't realise that came into play.
So I guess unless they're on a list or they're looking for it, then it might not be as forthcoming.
Everyone's got a busy day-to-day job, so it's making sure they factor that in. And I keep on top of those things as well.
Yeah, and we're going to stay on top of the regulations that are going to affect us, right? So we're always going to be making sure that we totally understand, and we've got a lot of options within our company that can different departments rather that can focus on this, whether it's technical or marketing or sales. We all have a vested interest in a particular part of the building regulations. An architect has to understand all of that, so it's not as simple.
Yeah, it's also taken a holistic approach. You could be focused on a certain type of building standards and regulation that's applicable, but another standard could be updated that might still affect your product range or your design or your project as well. So there's a lot there to absorb of information. It is hard to keep on top of. So I think the way we publish and get that message out to the market could certainly be improved. As for how, not sure.
I think one thing, sorry if I can just, something just come to my head there. If there is ambiguity or maybe a misunderstanding, I think it should be easier for you to be able to approach a particular person, contact, and say, I'm not sure exactly what this means. Can you help me? I'm not too sure that exists today. I mean, you might prove me wrong, but I don't think there is almost like an advice helpline for the building regulations guidance documents, just to sort of, look, we've read through this, we don't quite understand exactly what you're asking, can we have this clarified?
No, I mean, there's advocacy groups that lobby for clearer regulations that input into the regulations, but no, I think it's time consuming and it's lengthy. So I know from us as a business, we're involved in inputting into different British standards and regulations, etc. And it takes time. And often these are long drawn out meetings that take months, if not years at times, when you're talking about making changes. So I don't think there's a quick route to do it. I think it should definitely be simplified for sure. And so what do we think about regulations and innovation? I mean, can regulations even keep pace with the innovation in the industry?
I would probably, yeah, I'd almost flip it on its head, and innovation should always really come first. I think we see that across all walks of life, be it F1 is a prime example, where the teams are constantly pushing the boundaries through innovation as to what they can do to kind of get faster, get better. And then the regulations then have to keep up with that to make sure that they're almost being not held back and restricted, but governed correctly to make sure that things aren't going too far away. So yes, regulations should keep up with innovation, but innovation will always be ahead and should always be ahead. But regulations probably just need to be that bit closer, and understanding of the changes in things like modern methods of construction. We've mentioned modular offsite many times. And making sure that can kind of be incorporated, and that would fully support these types of build as well. I think then probably it needs to get closer, I think, is what I would say.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd also say it's not just the regulations here. We've got a number of different accreditations to sort of abide by and go for, which is really good for the industry and manufacturers, but it also makes it very expensive and difficult to now bring a new product or innovation to the market, and could be seen as a sort of stopper. You know, everyone wants EPDs, CCPI, and everything included on that, and that comes at a great expense, along with your certifications.
And time, absolutely. And time. I think, you know, yeah, you have a new innovative product, you want to get it to market, you could be a year for certification, and the costs that come with that, it's frightening, to be fair.
And we've actually spoken to manufacturers and raw material companies that have some really good solutions for the construction industry, and they've not brought them to market because of that process and time, and they don't see the return happening, yeah, which is a real shame.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. So really, I guess what we need is not having these requirements to be a barrier. So we should always be pushing the boundaries with innovation, but having a more, I guess, simplified pathway to actually get into the market. And there's a fine balance with that, mm-hmm, because you also don't want to see, you know, non-performance, not credible products coming in, not credible building solutions entering. So it's a bit of a fine balance between both of them.
I think the majority of companies and people, obviously speak for myself, but people want to comply with building regulations. You're obviously going to get people that might try and bend rules for one reason or another, and probably the less said about that the better, but I think the majority of people, they do want to comply, but they want to understand it as well, so it needs to be made easier and more accessible for these types of people to be able to help them support the way that they're looking at building, and be that a modern way or just an innovative product that's come to market, and how that can be utilized and used, because it might be a great product, but it just, unfortunately, because it hasn't had the right testing or certification, doesn't comply simply because the paperwork's not in place, and that is a real shame.
And also, I think that there's a lot of discussions in the market at the moment that it all starts with manufacturing, and I kind of disagree to some degree of that, because you don't manufacture anything until you've designed a product or a solution, and where you start with that is by looking at the regulations and going, what do I want to achieve, where do I see my solution fitting within the regulations, within the construction industry. So I think it does all start with the regulations, more so than the products and the innovation as well. So having a clearer guidance and route on that would help innovation as well.
And that stems from existing problems, right? You know, you start with the problem and then you need a solution.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
I mean, we see it on a lesser scale when we're looking at specifications of our products going into projects, and they have the similar approved. So it would define what product you need, and then similar approved. And I think that there's huge ambiguity in that, because someone's interpretation of similar or approved can vary person to person, company to company, and people can find themselves at a disadvantage.
Well, we find it massively in the membrane industry, where membranes do all appear the same, but there's so many different specification of membranes on the market, all with varying performances. Some of them minuscule, some of them massive variants in performances. But if you're not aware of that, they all do look the same or act the same, but there's so much they can differ from product to product.
Yeah, we just need a breathable membrane, right? So anyone will do.
Yeah, yeah. But then you've got air tightness, vapor permeability, self-adhesive, non-self-adhesive, fire performances, low emissivity faces, and the list goes on within that.
Yeah, it's misleading and it's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is worrying because, you know, as you said earlier, an architect can't expect to know everything about everything. They'll be specialists in certain core areas and have a lot of experience at times, but we can't expect them to know everything about everything. And I think that's where manufacturers, there's, you know, a real responsibility for manufacturers to be not only transparent about the performance of their product and where it should be utilised in the building, take a little bit of responsibility for that as well, and making sure that the information is correct. And that's what I like so much about CCPI, which is something we're committed to as a company, that shows the whole performance of your product, how that's communicated throughout your organization, how that's communicated to the stakeholders, be it the architect, the contractor, the building owner. And it really takes, you know, it's a roadmap to make sure that what you are saying that your product is performing and doing is absolutely correct from sort of inception to delivery to the site.
Yeah, I think the whole CCPI process is really beneficial for any business to go through. You really explore every angle of your business, and
yeah, it's a deep dive. It's a deep dive,
but it's a real good exercise to do, even though it's a lot of hard work for your business to comply with. But certainly recommend it.
Absolutely. So just trying to summarize where we've got to with this. We've gone off piste a couple of times, which is fine. Yeah. We tend to do that on these podcasts. Can building control keep pace with the changes that are happening in the industry now?
Yeah, yes, it can. It can. It's obviously making sure that it does, which is the important thing, I think. It has to, you know. It's got a responsibility to make sure that it does keep up with the way things are changing in the industry. It's just, yeah, the building regulations. Better not say that. I was going to talk about the age of the building regulations then, but I'm not too sure where to go.
You'll show your age if you do that.
I would actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I, what can I say?
I think it's a moving platform, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, there's changes coming.
We're seeing progress with every amendment. We're just not there yet. Maybe not say that, actually.
No, I think, I think it's more the case that a lot of the amendments we're seeing are a reaction to something that's happened, rather than being proactive and saying, right, okay, we need to keep up with technology, we need to keep up with innovation, we need to keep up with new standards. I think that's kind of where it is at the moment. So there's we're led to believe that it's going to be a massive overhaul of building regulations coming in the next few years, and that'll be really important. It'd be really interesting to see how that comes about, what form it will take as well, because if you've got a document which is, you know, hundreds of pages long, I know you only really need to be guided to a certain point some of the time for a particular type of specification, but it's a lot to try and take in and understand and remember. So maybe just having a more modernized portal or way to actually access the building regulations is something I'd probably be really, really keen to see moving forward.
And I find with building with the building regs, what tends to happen is they kind of drill down in a specific area. So we've seen a gradual evolution, I think, to address some previous concerns, especially in the likes of sustainability and health and safety. And they seem to have been kind of catapulted forward a little bit and are actually relatively clear. There's still some ongoing questions that need to be answered and changed. But I think there's been real kind of jumps towards addressing that. And perhaps, Will, that's been down to, as you say, some incidents or some problems that have happened in the industry. But I think I'm hopeful that we'll see clearer guidance. You know, guidelines that actually incorporates modern materials and the technologies in the future building regs. I don't think we're there yet. I think it's going to take some time. And I think this word gradual is what I talked about. It's probably going to be like that with building regs for quite some time. So be patient, but hopefully it'll improve.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. I just encourage that there is that improvement in the way it's delivered. and understood by everyone, not just even from the salespeople within manufacturer companies. They should all know the relevant building regulations and standards going forward. So reading hundreds of pages of documents is going to be hard for everyone to absorb that. It needs to be made so people can absorb that information as well across the board.
And interestingly, sorry, just to say, we've been doing interviews recently for a couple of roles. The lack of understanding in some salespeople who have had 5-10 years in the industry, we always will ask this at interviews, you know, what's your understanding of the building regulations? And a lot of them, you're just met with a kind of blank face because it's not that interesting to some people, but there doesn't seem to be that responsibility to take an active interest in it. So it's not how we operate. We think it's very important. But I do feel that if people are out there, you know, as a technical salesperson, they need to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on. I think and doesn't seem that appetite.
Yeah, I agree. I think showing a basic level of competency is important, especially if you're speaking to an architect and advising them on a particular specification, product, how something should be installed, detail. Then, yeah, a level of competency must really be shown. So a basic understanding is necessary, or at least where to find that basic knowledge to be able to comfortably give the correct answers to people. I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Okay. So any final comments or...
Yeah, I think we didn't really touch on new build versus refurb quickly, because I think that's kind of important. I think it's a lot easier to say, right, new build, here we go, here's your regulations. It's a nice new suite of guidance documents. You must follow these in order to build a new building. And I think that works pretty much most of the time. Refurb is a little bit more tricky because you've got a set of regulations. Okay, it's split into domestic and non-domestic for Part L. Which is really, really helpful. But it's still kind of a very, very broad brushstroke over many, many different types of buildings across the UK. And I think that's a bit of an issue at the moment where that kind of needs modernising, but for older buildings, if that makes sense, because you can't apply one regulation to all types of building. So I think you kind of maybe what's needed in, probably going against some of the stuff we said today, but maybe what's needed in refurb regulations is that flexibility in design and detailing to say, look, we can't do this because of this type of building, or this is the type of wall that we have and this is the space we have, so that's just not physically possible to do. So you need a bit of common sense to go with that flexibility in order to understand, well, okay, here are the regulations for a refurbishment project, but it's not possible to be done on this project. So let's not try and worry for the next 6 months as to whether we can or can't do something that we know we already know that we can't do. So yeah, kind of my point there is we need to look at new build and refurb building regulation guidance documents as a separate entity.
That's why I kind of do like PAS 2030 and 2035, because those documents do have a lot of matrix and principles to assist with that and make sure you're still building a healthy building when you're doing the retrofit and the upgrade measures. Obviously, there are a set of principles within that document to follow. But dialogue on retrofit is so important between your building control, your suppliers, the materials, understanding what you're putting into that building, but also understanding what that building's performance is existing, what it is currently before you do any upgrade measures.
Sure.
The amount of times we have an architect come on to us and say, we're upgrading this wall. Like, okay, how thick is it? Well, not sure. Okay, what's this? Is there a cavity in it? Is there insulation in there? Well, not sure. We can't access that. And it's like, well, that's going to make it really hard to design a healthy building and go accordingly. But yeah, they're the main two issues I'd see.
And I think just going to that, that's what's so good about PAS 2035 is that it doesn't look at individual elements. It takes, you know, the whole assessment of the entire building and looks at it very holistically, which is great. I mean, we're very supportive of that here at Proctors, looking at what might impact something else. Fantastic document.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you very much for your time, Will and Adam. That's been really appreciated. And thank you to our listeners. Keep an eye out for our future podcast. We've got more to come this year. And we hope to see you back listening or watching again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.